Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith, joined by Derek Terry. Derek, how are you?
Sean, I'm doing well. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Derek. Kicking up some episodes this week. I dropped a basketball episode early this morning, and then on that episode, I promised that there would be a football episode, and that's what we're going to get to today. As always, the show, it's powered by Blue Wire Pods. It's also powered by the Butcher's Pub, three locations, Pineville, Williamsburg, and London, Kentucky. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check out those three Facebook pages. Derek, since the last time that we talked, the recap Kentucky-Florida, Kentucky has received some good news. Chris Rodriguez will make his return when Kentucky travels to Oxford for that matchup with Ole Miss on Saturday, October 1st. Until then, Kentucky has to get through Youngstown State, Northern Illinois. We'll get into those two things, but how significant is that news?
I mean, it's huge. Really kind of followed the timeline we all expected to, I guess, because it was kind of floated out there that it could be around a four-game suspension. So getting him back with, you know, fresh legs for the SEC slate, that home stretch there right in the middle of the season, you know, God forbid UK loses anyone the next 2 weeks or you're not running back because they're already pretty thin. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal to get C-Rod back out there. And I mean, I think the timing is great because you could be talking about where's Ole Miss ranked in the AP top 5?
Let me see here.
I'm thinking that could be like a top 15 matchup.
I want to say 16th. Let me look right here.
20th.
I think they might be higher in the coaches polls where I thought okay. 16th. Yeah. So the SEC, it's Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Kentucky 9, Arkansas 10, Tennessee 15, Florida 18, Ole Miss 20. Somehow A&M stayed in the poll at 20.
Yeah, they plunged, but they're still there. But with Ole Miss, I mean, what you're talking about, they play Georgia Tech on Saturday, and then I think they play Tulsa the next week, two games they should probably win. So I don't know how much further they'll go up, but it's going to be a ranked matchup, very likely. I mean, as long as Ole Miss doesn't lose, as long as UK doesn't get upset these next 2 weeks. So to introduce Rodriguez there in a game that, I mean, UK trying to start 5-0 for the second straight year. Well, they get to 6-0 last year, I think they won the first six.
Yep, got 6-0.
Trying to start the season 5-0, introducing him to that lineup. Especially, I'll be curious to see how this offensive line kind of rotates in or out or however it looks these next 2 weeks. It's kind of the time to get right. These are the final two non-conference games against a non-Power 5 team. So a lot to kind of figure out these next 2 weeks, I think, for Kentucky, on top of what we do know through 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we talked on that episode the other night that matchup at Ole Miss, you're talking about it. You're talking two teams there that could be undefeated. Does it attract College game day? I know Alabama and Arkansas also play that day, if I'm not mistaken. So there are some big games around college football that weekend, but it certainly seems like that one is kind of destined to be one of the bigger ones. Where does Kentucky fall in the AP poll then? They're sitting at number 9 right now. Derek, is number 7 the highest they've ever been in the AP poll?
I think 6. I was looking at that the other day, but it's been a long time. I don't know. Let me go look it up.
So if that's the case, though, you're talking a game there. So I picked Kentucky to start 7-0 and their first loss being at Tennessee there on October 29th. If they're able to get through the next 2 weeks like we expect them to be, 4-0, and then going to Oxford, Derek, if they get that one, 7-0 is on the table if you can come home and take care of business against South Carolina, a team that I just think that they're significantly better than. And then if you can get Mississippi State at home, I think that if you rank the games coming up, Ole Miss would be the toughest, and then I think Mississippi State at home would be the second toughest out of that stretch before they go to Knoxville.
Yeah, looking at the AP poll, it just kind of depends on how you want to look at things. You can go back to under Bear Bryant. They topped out at number 3. They were number 3 in 1950. They finished 7th that year. But the last time they were ranked as high as they currently are was obviously 2007, where they got up to number 8. But prior to that, the team finished number 6. In 1977.
Okay.
So it's been a while since they've been in the top 10 period and really a chance to I don't know. Like you said, we got see, Kentucky's got Oklahoma State, USC, Oklahoma, the three right above them, and doesn't look like any of those three teams are going to lose at least next week. So they might hang right around here. Maybe some teams jump them, depending on who plays below them. If some of those teams can get some big wins. Like it looks like, you know, Miami. I don't know how that win would be valued if they won against Texas A&M. You also got BYU, who plays a ranked Oregon. I think Oregon's – no, Oregon's not ranked. Or are they? Yeah, they fell out. No, they're 25th. They fell out for a week and came back in. So that's two games against ranked teams. But, you know, how much weight do they really carry? Because Oregon and Texas A&M already have losses. But BYU did just beat Baylor. So I think BYU could be a team that maybe would potentially jump Kentucky. I mean, who knows with the win there. And then either way – were you surprised to – because I the way I looked at this AP poll for now, like, it wasn't – I don't really have a problem. Like, I think it's great for Kentucky. They should sell the hell out of that in recruiting. But if I want to keep a consistent stance, I thought Florida to be put 12th was way too high after beating Utah. And it seems like Kentucky is riding a lot of momentum from beating Florida. I mean, they jumped, what, 11 spots for that one win. You know, I don't really know, but I think it's great for the program to be ranked this high. And they should, I mean, you saw Sam Pittman, Arkansas's coach, they're ranked 10th. He was talking about selling it to recruits. So Kentucky should absolutely do the same thing. And I mean, they got a chance to kind of stay in the top 25 all year if this season goes the way we think it could.
Yeah. And it's now the comes down to how far or how high can they climb? Like, if you get off to a 4-0 start, go to Ole Miss, get another big win, how high do they climb then? And then you get to really. You don't get to dive into your home schedule, it feels like, until October. I know they got back-to-back home dates coming up, but the big exciting games are going to be October and beyond when they get into league play. That South Carolina game, it's crazy to think that that's their first really big home game that late into the year. But Northern Illinois, it's announced as a night game, and I was talking to you about this on Monday. That's a 7 p.m. kick, getting an ESPN2 time slot for an out-of-conference matchup that isn't Louisville. Pretty big deal there, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I told you I thought it might have been well, this is before I saw the numbers. Sean, did you see that Kentucky-Florida was the most watched ESPN game since college football game since 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, I think Texas and Alabama was the most watched game.
Yeah, 10 million in that one. And then 4.3 million Kentucky-Florida, most watched September ESPN game, I think.
September, okay, yeah.
Since 2018, but there's a lot of good games early on in September on Saturdays, like over the last few years.
And also, I think Florida and UCF is on there, so I kind of want to get a shout-out as a state. You know, I don't know if the state of Kentucky gets enough credit for how much it cares about football. Obviously, it gets branded as a basketball state, and Louisville, Kentucky is one of the best those early days of Cal Patino, it was one of the best, probably, I thought it was probably better than UNC Duke at that time, but you would probably get some pushback on that. But it was certainly in the conversation for best rivalry. It's, I think, cooled off some. Obviously didn't even play it last year with Louisville's COVID issues. And, you know, it's kind of lost some steam, I think. But football-wise, I mean, it's a big game, and the state really cares. So maybe, I don't know. I don't know if that had anything to do with it once they saw those numbers and wanted to schedule it there. But I think the Will Levis effect, obviously it's a top 10 team, so that's the obvious factor, but you can kind of sell, you know, hey, random fan out here, maybe you like the NFL, if your team's bad, come watch this quarterback who you might have a chance to draft next year. So don't know, that's just, I thought logically that made sense, but I'm not sure if that's exactly why. But good for Kentucky, because a lot of years that would have been a nooner. No thought about it. So if I was still on the beat, Sean, I wouldn't have been too happy about the 7 o'clock time slot, but I'll be on vacation, so I won't even be at the game anyway, but I'll be checking in. So
so let's transition into Youngstown State. And we know that it's a big game for Mark Stoops. It's a big game for Vince Mero and those connections to that Youngstown area and those ties. They're expecting a lot of people there this weekend. It was really cool that Mark Stoops got win number 61 against Florida, but let's say if it hadn't have worked out that way, it would have been pretty cool, too, to get it against Youngstown State, but get a chance to get win number 62, which I'm sure Mark Stoops is even happier about. But what are the couple of things that you're looking for, not just this week, But moving into that Northern Illinois week, this feels like the last opportunity, Derek, for Kentucky to kind of figure out what they have at certain positions and how deep and the depth and what younger guys are going to get, you know, some snaps. Because this kind of feels like once you get through September, you get into that October grind, there's no more out-of-league games other than Louisville. The schedule gets tougher as you get into October, November. This kind of feels like the last couple of weeks to kind of get a look at some guys you're maybe wondering if they're going to make an impact this year or not.
No doubt. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good storylines to follow with the team. You know, they keep talking like they want to put Keontae Goodwin in. It seemed like Horsey did a really good job last week at left tackle. So it still wouldn't surprise me if they put Goodwin in there because you just need to see what you have with him. But I got to wondering if maybe he might slide over to right tackle. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I don't think Flex has been terrible necessarily. I don't think he's been great either. But I've tried to remember with Flex as well, even though he's – I think this is his third year at UK, he still hasn't really played a lot. So I don't want to give up on the guy after two games. It's just if you're going to work Goodwin in somewhere. Because you could pretty much make the argument too now that if you're going to keep Horsey at left tackle, doesn't he need these reps?
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see where they slot Goodwin in because I do think they're going to play him some just to see what they have. Wide receiver, it sounds like Rich Scangarello yesterday already hinted that Dekel Crowdis and he said one more speedster. I don't know if he was talking about Jordan Anthony. I don't know if he was – I mean, I don't think he was talking about Berrion because Berrion's been a, you know, a focal point or, you know, a starter for already. So I don't think he was the guy they were talking about. I'm not quite sure who the other was, if it was maybe Brandon White, Jordan Anthony. Whoever it was, it sounds like they're going to play a couple more wide receivers. But I think a big guy to watch is Chris Lewis because he's a guy that, you know, I thought probably would have played more, honestly, than what he has at this point. He played a little bit against Miami. He didn't have any targets. And I've watched the UK game several times from Saturday already, and I don't recall seeing Chris out there at all. So I think he'll definitely play some this week. But for him, I think it's a big deal because if you were asking me back in the spring out of – and I know they play different positions, but like Chauncey Magwood I probably would have had ranked below – Chris, but it seems like Magwood's kind of he's earned a spot and he's made plays. So Magwood's pretty much I think he's earned a right to play quite a bit based on what he's shown so far. And they're playing five wide receivers right now, and you got all those tight ends. So, you know, there's not really a ton of balls to go around for in terms of the depth a wide receiver. So I think it's a big week for Chris because he's a guy who Dane Key came in, beat him out, and Dane's making plays. And then you got I think probably their best recruit so far in Shamar Porter, who's another outside wide receiver. So in terms of Chris's future at Kentucky, and I'm on record on this podcast. I thought Chris was the best pure wide receiver they'd recruited back in 2021, but I think it kind of speaks to the job they've done since then that he's even in a situation as a redshirt freshman where you're kind of wondering where it's going to go for him. But I hope he gets in there this week and plays well because I think he does have a bright future. It's just, you know, Dane looks like he could be a star. Yeah. And if you're Chris, unless they're going to play two guys like that and Berrion's here, I mean, it's a tough spot to be in, I think, for Chris. So only thing he can do, though, is when he does get his number called, is go in there and produce.
Yep, take advantage of it. And which leads us into this. So the running back situation, I want to watch that closely, too. Obviously, you feel much better about it knowing that Chris Rodriguez will be back here in a couple of weeks. But what happens behind him, Derek? I know there was a lot of talk about McLean coming into the year, Kavassier Smoke. I know we looked at this logjam that Kentucky had in the backfield, and we kind of looked at it and was like, we're kind of shocked that someone didn't maybe hit the portal. But it's a good thing they didn't. I thought Kavassier Smoke was huge, especially in the second half at Florida. You had Lavelle Wright go in there and make some nice runs as well. What do you think? Because when we talked about this about a week before the season started, before the injury to Jefferson, we were talking about what we thought the carries would look like by the time we got to the Ole Miss game. What do you think it looks like now going into October? And I know we want to see the next two, but Lavelle certainly is going to get an opportunity, it seems like, with the injuries to McLean, the injury to Jefferson there.
Yeah, I think when Rodriguez is back, he's certainly going to be the starter, but Kavassier has done, you know, that second half was big. I mean, he he had some good individual runs. That one in the fourth quarter, right before his third down run to get the first down and take more clock off. I mean, he cut it outside, cut it back up once he got to the outside. I mean, that was an individual run where there was not a lot there. And he found a way to get something out of nothing. So I think those two will still get a lot of carries, but Lavelle, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with that if that's the running back rotation. You know, Jatan, he's going to be week to week. I've maybe lost a little luster with Jatan. He just hasn't shown much when he's played. Like, when he's been in there, he just does not have very many moments. And that's going back to last year, too. He had the touchdown catch against LSU on the wheel route, but in terms of running the football, I just can't recall many runs that were notable from him. Drennan's clearly a non-factor. They were choosing to put Tavion Robinson at running back last week over him whenever they, you know, needed that's creativity as well. But it's also like, I mean, if you're Drennan, I think the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's everybody with Ramon Jefferson out. So,
which is unfortunate because I do think that he was going to have a big year.
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, if Ramon was there, it was going to be either Smoke or Lavelle who was going to lose carries, I think. And yeah, with that injury, maybe you get him back next year if he gets a red shirt waiver or whatever. But as it is, it's going to be good for Wright, I think, to get those carries. Because, I mean, you're looking at a situation of, you know, Lavelle Wright's like probably going to be your starting running back, I think, at this point next season.
And there was the play there that I think we talked about it where he got on the edge, and I thought he could have maybe with some more experience, he finds a way to get in the end zone Saturday. But I still thought that he made some nice runs there in the second half. Kentucky, you know, they some patient runs there, and then, you know, keeping the chains moving there in the third and fourth quarter. I thought he got some big time experience playing in the swamp in that environment. I think Lavelle is a guy that's going to get better and better. And I think the next 2 weeks are big for him and Smoke.
They are. I mean, I think, you know, Kvassier's got more miles on his body. He's been hit more. He's, you know, he's in his fifth year at UK.
And he does have a tendency to get banged up.
And he has. He's been, you know, not that that's unusual for running backs. I mean, guys tend to get banged up at that position. They've really had some kind of ridiculous durability between Rodriguez and Benny Snell, I think, for as many hits as those two guys have taken. So I say that to say I wouldn't be surprised if Lavelle's kind of the featured back here for the next couple of weeks, just to, you know, minimize the hits that Kvassier takes moving forward.
Keep Levis clean the next 2 weeks too. You want to see that offensive line be able to protect him and things. But how big is it too? Like, obviously you would love to have had Chris Rodriguez for the first two games, or honestly the first four games. And we know that he's chasing UK history when it comes to the rushing record. And now it's going to be a taller task to do it because he's going to have to average, I think, what, at about 126 yards per game, including the bowl game, I think, if he's able to break that record. But, Derek, you get to rest him, you keep him healthy for what is really the start of the SEC schedule in October.
Beating Florida changed the narrative to where it's like, man, they found a way to presumably start 4-0. Without their star running back. Whereas I think there would have been more anger. I don't know where it would have been directed, but I think there would have been more anger if they lost at Florida, because it would have felt like, and they weren't at full strength. So I think that makes that Florida win even look even better. And I think probably, would you say builds the excitement more? I would say so. Yes. For Ole Miss, knowing that he's going to be back for that game versus if we got to game week and still didn't really know. But now that it's 2 weeks out, you know, he's going to be here. You can work on your things that you need to be addressed before Chris gets back. And then you're going to be, I think, sitting pretty. I'm going to guess he's going to be running pretty pissed off when they go down there to Oxford. Is this a situation you want him to be a little selfish with this record? Because you said, what, he's going to have like 126 yards per game. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, it's not like crazy he's done that. I think he had like 9 straight games or something where he had over 100 yards. But if he's going to get that record and you want him to be
– it'd be a hell of a start if he could run for about 200 in that first game back. And that's
I'm just thinking of this this play-action passing game, though. When Chris is back, I mean, the way they're utilizing the tight ends already without, you know, Running game's been bad first 2 weeks up until that second half last week where they found something. Those first six quarters, they didn't look good. But then you get that threat of Rodriguez. I mean, I think this offense is going to be fun as hell as the season goes on.
I do too. And mixing in those tight ends the way that they have in the first 2 weeks. And you know that Barry and Brown's going to settle in and get more comfortable. Tavion Robinson, we saw what he could do in week one. Dane Key, what he's done in both weeks. Like there's plenty of firepower on this offense. If that offensive line can settle in and clean up some of those protection issues and some things there, and you kind of figure out where you fall with your running back depth and things like that, that this is an offense that I think as you progress and you get into mid to late October and into November, by the time they play Georgia at Kroger Field, this is probably that'll probably be the best the offense looks all year.
That's the dream, right? I mean, that's the hope, that you get to that game where it really matters. Sean, I think I saw, I might have been SEC Mike. First time, I think, since 07 that four SEC East teams are in the top 20. Did you see that?
I did not see that. But, yeah, that would make sense because that was a very good year for the East. Kentucky was one of those teams in the top 20 that year.
Yeah. Tennessee was all – I think it's the four teams that are in right now, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Kentucky. So, I thought that was an interesting stat, but it kind of points to, you know, you've played one of those teams, Florida, who beat them. I have a tough road game at Tennessee later in the year, but you got some business to take care of prior to that. We were talking about things we wanted to see this weekend. I remember we didn't mention the defense any. It's a big week, I think, for Jordan Lovett, someone who's going to be a starter now for the rest of the season with Geiger's unfortunate injury. And I guess that's not – has that still not been confirmed as a season? Did Stoops confirm it on Monday?
I don't remember. I think he just said he's going to be out for some time, for a while.
Yeah. My understanding is he's definitely not going to be back this season.
It looked bad.
It looked bad, and I just can't imagine he's going to be playing football again this year. So for Lovett, first start, I thought he did some really good things. Todd second on the team lead in tackles. When I went back and rewatched the game, he was in the mix a lot. Don't really know coverage wise. I don't know that he really got tested so much. Florida was really struggling to throw the ball, and I don't know how much these other two teams are going to be able to show it either, but Ole Miss will be a team that tries to push the ball vertically. So it'll be interesting to see. I think it's good to get Jordan these 2 weeks to kind of settle in into his role as a starter, and might switch some things around too. Alex Afari's played a lot of nickel, but and Stoops, I think, wants him to be a corner, but they don't really need him at the moment to be a corner. Maybe he can go back there, play some safety. Zion Childress, the transfer from Texas State, probably going to get some more run now. So that's going to be some – I wouldn't really call it shuffling, just because they did play a half and it was pretty clear that Lovett was the next guy up. But in terms now of building some more depth, you're going to see probably some different guys get some snaps these next 2 weeks. Also, I don't know, probably not that unusual, but I did notice on the rewatch that Jaquez Jones, he already had his shoulder wrapped up quite a bit, taped up, and I'm wondering if – you're going to get a lot more Trevin Wallace and De'Eriq Jackson. Just to kind of – I mean, you know what you got with Jaquez Jones and DeAndre Square.
Well, and just to get through the next 2 weeks.
Right, and I don't know that you need those guys out there. Again, if the game's on the line and stuff like – you hope it's not. I mean, I'm not saying just to bench these guys for 2 weeks and whirl out there with your second squad. I mean, I think you still want them out there because they're important parts of the defense. Jones and Square, I thought, played great against Florida. But if Jones is already in a situation where he's, you know, nursing a shoulder or something like that, it just makes sense to play Trevin and Jack, because you're getting a look at next year's inside linebackers too, and Martez Throwers in there. Luke Fulton played some against Miami. Not that these guys are probably going to be huge factors, Thrower and Fulton, that is, but that's kind of one other thing that I noticed. I can't imagine there'd be anything crazy different on the defensive line. They're already playing a lot of guys there, rotating those guys really well. I think the guys who are going to be in the mix are already solidified. So that kind of leaves, I don't know, corner is another spot. Smith, Phillips, and Valentine, I think they feel good with those three. Maxwell Hairston's on the depth chart, so does he get some run this week when the game still matters? Those will be the small things that I'll probably be looking for. I don't think there's as many questions on defense, and that's a good thing because this defensive unit is pretty solid. I think they've shown really well these first 2 weeks.
And a game Saturday that you would like to see Kentucky come out and kind of take care of business early and not mess around, you know, have a letdown after a big win versus Florida. You want to come out, kind of put that game away in the first half and play
some. It's a classic letdown spot, though, under Stoops, though, isn't it?
It is, and a noon kick, too. So it's even more of a classic letdown spot. But I don't know what the crowd will look like, but I'm hopeful that that night game versus Northern Illinois the following week will be a sellout crowd. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, we're getting to a point now, Derek, where it's sellout crowds for out of conference games that aren't Louisville.
Well, I mean, I know that was a season opener against Miami, so people are excited, but like, it's going to take a horrendous meltdown to lose to Youngstown State on Saturday. So you'll be talking about an undefeated team coming in here. They'll be on the road again that next week. So it'll be another week before you can get back in and see them, unless you're traveling into Ole Miss, which I think I would guess there would probably be a great UK crowd down in Oxford. Wanting to go down there and see that ranked matchup, presumably a ranked matchup. So I'm with you. I think it'll be a great crowd. Maybe not quite a sellout, but not an embarrassing crowd by any means, but it could be a little tougher. I do think, I've not really looked, but I think the weather is supposed to be nice for this weekend. So that'll be good to get out there and watch this. And I kind of wonder about the letdown stuff even more, knowing that, first of all, Stoops isn't going to try to beat his hometown team by like 70 points. Not that they ever really beat teams that bad anyway, but I don't know. I'm with you though. I want them to come out and take care of business. And I'm going to guess this is kind of the game within the game kind of stuff. I think Will's done a really good job these first 2 weeks. And last week they played great complimentary football and did what they had to do to win. But I think it's time to pad those stats a little bit, because you're going to be recruiting a portal quarterback, and wouldn't hate it if he threw for 400 yards.
Yep. I would be, that'd be pretty awesome, right? Like, you want to pad those stats a little bit and get through the next couple of weeks 4-0 before you go to Ole Miss, a game that we don't know the TV network and announce for that, but
it's going to be a night game, almost certainly, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm assuming Alabama-Arkansas probably gets the 3:30 game that day on CBS, and then Kentucky-Ole Miss, probably a night game on ESPN, if I'm guessing, or maybe they flip those two. I don't know. Like, that, both those games have potential to be top 10 matchups if Ole Miss can climb high enough in the AP poll. I want to think they're 15th or 16th in the coaches poll, I think is where I was getting that other number at. But, Derek, anything else you want to add before we wrap this thing up?
No, I just think that, you know, this is already shaping up to be a great exposure kind of season, and it comes at a good time, because I mean, especially with the quarterback, with Will and the offensive system they have, it's big to be on TV as much as possible, be in these big games, just because I've said it before on here, like, I think the roster is in really good shape. It's just, it's when you don't know who the quarterback is for the foreseeable future, it gives you pause. And being in these situations where you can kind of maximize what you will be able to recruit in the portal, I think is huge. And that's just even getting the ESPN2 slot against Northern Illinois, because for so many years that would have been a SEC network game buried somewhere. And the fact that it's going to be on ESPN2 is great. I mean, people that are just flipping through, I don't know how many people are going to watch it. I don't know what other matchups are on that night, but I think that's a great thing. And now that I watch basically all the road games from home, I have my favorite broadcaster. I thought Tessitore and McElroy was pretty good the other night. I'd be down for those guys to call the Ole Miss UK game.
It'd be nice to get Herb Street on a call too, and get one of those big time games on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, the Georgia game, if it means something, it's going to get the CBS slot. And I'm kind of thinking, like, the other game I was thinking, like, could Tennessee Kentucky, like, that's the other one that I think both those teams are going to be. I mean, if Kentucky wins at Ole Miss, I feel good about them beating South Carolina at home.
At least 6-1.
Yeah, like, Mississippi State gives me, – like, I think they're a pretty good team. I think they're, – when we're talking about the AP poll, that's a team that I think should be ranked. That's not. So, yeah, I think if both Kentucky and Tennessee can be around that, you know, only one or two loss mark, I think it's going to get, – hopefully one loss, no more than that for either team, when you're talking about building up these matchups. Because does Tennessee play – Georgia before Kentucky? I think they do. I don't know for sure. But that's another game, though, that, like, Has Kentucky Tennessee been at 3:30 CBS? I know they've played on CBS like back in 07, that Woodson game, but it was a noon game. I can't remember if Kentucky and Tennessee were like that 3:30 national TV spot, but that'd be awesome.
I never remember that game being a 3:30 CBS game at any point other.
Yeah.
The only CBS game I remember was the one, you know, back in 07. That's the only CBS game I remember them playing. So looking at Tennessee's schedule.
Yeah, they got some tough games, but they're manageable.
That road trip to LSU. So they host Florida, road trip to LSU, host Alabama, UT Martin, and then Kentucky, Georgia, back-to-back Saturdays. Jeez. So, you know, definitely love the way that schedule sets up if you're not a fan of the Vols, right? it looks like Kentucky, if Kentucky can get that win at Ole Miss here in a couple of weeks, given Tennessee's schedule and you get the built-in game with Alabama every year, and until they beat Alabama, you're going to pick Alabama to win that game. And then they get Georgia. It almost kind of puts you in the driver's seat for at least second in the East if you get the win at Ole Miss.
Yeah. I mean, looking at this Tennessee schedule, they got their bye after the Florida game. And I think they're going to beat Florida. I really do.
I do too.
So I think they're going to be 4-0 after that bye, and then they go down to LSU. So that's when the game will get picked after LSU. So if they're undefeated after LSU, October 8th is we'll see what happens for Kentucky at Ole Miss, but Kentucky will play South Carolina the week before that when that game's getting picked. So I'm going to think this game gets a good slot.
I think you're going to have an undefeated Kentucky team and a one-loss Tennessee team playing in Knoxville on the final Saturday of October.
Oh, God. I don't know if I can handle that, man. A lot to handle.
Because I think they're beating Florida, and I think they're beating LSU too.
Yeah.
I don't think they're beating Alabama.
Weird things happen in Baton Rouge, though, man.
But can you imagine that fan base if they were to beat Florida, LSU, Alabama in consecutive weeks? Like,
they'd be back. I'd tip my hat. I'd tell them they're back.
Yep.
They do that.
They'll give you 98 reasons why they're back.
Oh, yeah. Every year it feels like 98. It'd be really feeling like 98 if they I think just beating Florida is a huge deal for them because, you know, not to inject UK into this, but Kentucky's got like 3 wins now against Florida since 04, and Tennessee is like 1. So what Florida is to Tennessee is what Tennessee has been to Kentucky. It's like it's hard to put your – Kentucky's beat all these other teams, but for some reason can't beat Tennessee.
I never would have thought that you would have dropped a line like that a few years ago if you'd have said Kentucky beating Florida
3 times.
Yeah, 3 times when it comes to Tennessee's 1 win in that series. But that pretty much wraps up everything we want to get to on today's episode. Derek, it's getting here late in the week. Do you want to squeeze a mailbag in before, or do you want to wait till after Youngstown?
Let's hit a mailbag tomorrow if you want, and then we can do our predictions pick. I don't know how many good games. Probably would have been good to do one last week, but I wasn't last week, so we had to take off. But maybe we can do that both. I mean, I don't know how many mailbag questions we'll get, so we can do a mailbag slide. I think we did that a few times last year.
We did.
So we can do that.
We'll definitely get some episodes out there. If you haven't checked out the basketball schedule breakdown episode, that was a solo episode with myself there just talking about the SEC slate. The favorable road schedule, honestly, one of the better road schedules I think Kentucky's gotten. And then talked a lot about Kentucky's double games against Vandy, against Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Arkansas, and then got into the non-conference schedule as well. As always, the show, it's powered by – you got some news?
Yeah, well, you also dropped some new beats on the intro.
Yeah.
So come back, go listen to that.
Yep. New beats and
I guess you hear it on this one too, though.
I'm sure you heard it on this one if you made it this far, unless you skip through the intro music there. And then maybe we can get something like personalized for the show at some point. But I thought it was good now 3 seasons in to kind of mix it up and go a different direction. But as always, this show, it's powered by Blue Wire Pods, also powered by the Butcher's Pub. 3 locations, like I said in the opening of the show. Pineville, Kentucky, Williamsburg, and London. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check them out on Facebook. He's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll catch you next time on Kentucky Daily.